Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Spin Rate, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. That's right, this is Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and we are talking about your struggling Toronto Blue Jays, as we do twice a week here on The Athletic. I got to get it out of the way right off the top. I want you to subscribe to The Athletic if you don't already. This is the time. You want to read Keith Law's midseason top 50 list? You want to read all the trade breakdowns? Because they're happening. If you're a baseball fan, there's no better place for you to do, there's no better place for you to go other than theathletic.com/spinrate. Subscribe to The Athletic. Tell them that we sent you. Get yourself a tidy discount and keep us living in the style to which we have grown accustomed. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a like, give us a rating, subscribe. If you are a subscriber to The Athletic, you can listen to the show ad-free through The Athletic app. But if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, for now, that's okay. I mean, for now, I'm kind of goad you into doing it. Subscribe to the show, subscribe to The Athletic. Have yourself a good time. Twice a week, me and Caitlin McGrath bring you everything from Blue Jays land. We do that show on usually Sunday or Monday nights. This show during the week is you, me, and a guest. This week, my guest is the host of Blue Jays Talk on The Fan, Rob Wong. Had a great chat with Rob about the state of the team right now. What the future might hold. We looked at, you know, we talked a lot about maybe is 2021 the year? Is this the year you want to spend that prospect capital? Those are kind of a rhetorical question that I maybe asked. Anyway, it's a great talk. Rob is a great guy. We have a strange and close connection, of course. Rob Wong and I are from similar close by places, so we had a good time talking about that. We also talked about some transactions, like the Tampa Bay Rays acquiring Nelson Cruz in exchange for two top 20 prospects from the Rays, which, you know, not all prospects and not all top 10 or 20 lists are created equal. So if you're getting two guys from the Rays, you're probably doing pretty well. Two right-handed pitchers. One guy's name is Joe Ryan. The other guy's name is Drew Strotman. They now are members of the Minnesota Twins, who had a very disappointing season here in 2021. And so they're making some moves. Might they trade Jose Berríos? Maybe to the Blue Jays. Who knows? But there's lots of speculation, lots of fun talking about what the Blue Jays need to do, what they might do for 2021, what they might want to do for 2022, 2023, 2024. It's all on the table right now. So with no further ado, why don't I send you, the listener. First, one thing I want to do, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening. If this is your first episode of Spin Rate, if Rob Wong, our delightful guest, sent you here and this is your first time, thank you. Thank you for listening. If you've been listening to Caitlin and I all this season, thank you. Thank you for giving this, our new show, a go. I really appreciate it. If you've been listening to the previous show, if you listened to Stoughton and I over the years, I really appreciate you sticking with us. And if you listen to any of the podcasts that we've done, video shows, came to see us live, you know, listened, read anything that I've written, anything like that, there's a million different things trying to occupy your time, trying to steal your attention away. We're one of them. So thank you. I really appreciate it. It doesn't go unnoticed. And we continue going and having a great time talking about the Blue Jays. It's a great time to talk about the Blue Jays. So thanks for dialing us up. And so with that, I'm going to dial up Rob Wong. Have a great chat on this edition of Spin Rate. He is the mayor of Bradford, Gwilly himself, Mr. Rob Wong. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Yeah, I'm snacking on a carrot as we speak here, living up to the namesake. So shout out to my hometown of Bradford. Nothing wrong with the good old Newmarket, but there's a little something, I don't know, more special about the smaller town, if you will.
It has changed very much, I'm sure, since last I lived there or in that vicinity. But the Holland Marsh, of course, is still there, producing so much wonderful produce here and across for all of Ontario. I don't know. God only knows where all that stuff goes. And a fun fact about Bradford, because of its, for a variety of reasons, one of the best like Mexican restaurants you can find anywhere. Right there in
Mexicanada.
Bradford.
Mexicanada.
So good.
Now I don't want to, you know, go too hard on Mexicanada, but I did have not a great experience there last year. So I will just put it that way. The food was fine. The service, maybe some, leaving something to be desired. So I did not have kind things to say about that place, but it is phenomenal for people who have never been there before. So kind of a weird catch 22 there.
I hope that your experience was the exception to the rule, and
I think it was, yeah.
And you know, ever the pandemic, it's hard. It's hard for the restaurateurs and small business owners. It's hard for everybody because people, you know, they're dying. But while the pandemic is not behind us, Blue Jays baseball in Toronto is in front of us, immediately in front of us. The Blue Jays played their last game in Buffalo, which was a place that hosted the Blue Jays wonderfully. Speaking of Mexican food, I don't know if you could probably get good Mexican food in Buffalo, but Mighty Taco is like a Buffalo staple. So if you ever go to Buffalo, make sure you hook up with Mighty Taco. But Blue Jays are coming back to Toronto on July 30th. Lots of people, everyone in their right mind is excited. The game sold out in minutes. I'm here today on Thursday when we're recording it. But I guess the biggest question right now is, Rob, what do you think? Is when the Blue Jays return from this little road trip to play in Toronto, will the team look any different in that? Will there be any new players or new faces among the crowd?
Well, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would put it at a pretty good percentage chance that I do think we'll see some additions. And I've been saying this for weeks, and it's not some sort of insider knowledge or, you know, some sort of intuition. I think all you have to do is just look at the comments from Ross Atkins and look at the comments from Mark Shapiro that he said on our station and some of the media availabilities that he's done. He's basically hinted that they're going to do stuff. And he obviously sees the opportunity that this ball club has in front of them, that they're still in the mix for, you know, the wild card spot. The division is getting further and further out of reach, but, you know, is it an insurmountable lead? You know, definitely not if you can make the right additions. I think we look at this ball club and it's flawed. There's definitely issues with it, but there is a bit of a sleeping giant that lays underneath, and maybe it just needs a bit of a kick in the butt. And in that case, you know, maybe they could go on a pretty nice run here to sneak into a playoff spot. But I would be stunned. I mean, the more we get closer to July 30th, I've sort of, you know, scaled back my expectations on what, you know, types of moves they're going to make. I'm sure we're going to mention a person by the name of Joseph Gallo at some point over the next little bit here.
Yes, we will.
But we see Nelson Cruz going to Tampa Bay. That's, I know, a bit of a blow for some people that wanted to see him in a Jays uniform. And to be honest, I was starting to sell myself on that I thought it would be a realistic possibility just because of the potential prospect cost that it would take to get Nelson Cruz as opposed to a Joey Gallo or someone else like that. And we see the trade today. It's two top 20 prospects from the Rays, a couple of pitchers, and, you know, guys that are probably closer to the major leagues than maybe the Blue Jays could have offered with their farm system. So it just seems to match up better between Minnesota and Tampa Bay. But that's a long way of saying, yes, I do think we will see more than just Corey Dickerson, Adam Simber, and Trevor Richards in Toronto in a couple of weeks' time.
I will not stand for this Justin Barnes erasure any further.
You mean Jacob Barnes?
Well, sure. Exactly. So the Nelson Cruz thing is interesting. It's interesting because the Rays made a move. It's a very Raysy move in that it's a smart move. Nelson Cruz is a great hitter. Lots of folks were suggesting the Blue Jays would be a match. There would have been no harm in acquiring Nelson Cruz. Adding another right-handed bat, I'm not so worried about that. It's Nelson Cruz. He can mash, right? I don't know the Blue Jays are as a team to be a team that's especially vulnerable to right-handed pitching. I mean, well, maybe I say that and then I kind of forget Adam Ottavino sort of taking care of business the other day. But you look at the two names that the Blue Jays, that the Rays gave up, Joe Ryan and Drew Strotman. I think it was Stoughton said that it was like the number 10 and number 17 prospects in the Rays system, which is very, very deep, among the two or three best systems in all of baseball. Is that a price the Blue Jays were going to be willing to pay? No, I don't think that is. Again, if the Blue Jays 10 and 17 prospect, whoever you think they are, Riley Adams, I think these were some names that Stoughton floated out there, Otto Lopez, is that going to get it done to get this deal done? Maybe not. Also, you know, the Blue Jays, for the Blue Jays to acquire DH like Nelson Cruz, I don't think fits with their, with the way that the team is structured, the way that the current roster is. Nelson Cruz, I don't think was ever going to be a great fit, but I still think that, that if the opportunity is right and if the prices are at a good place, I can see the Blue Jays making one of these upgrades for now and upgrades for next year as well type of deals. Of course, you mentioned Joey Gallo, who is among those names. Obviously a player who does not hit free agency until coming after 2022, does a lot of things terrifically that would be a great match with the Blue Jays. Jose Berrios, Herman Marquez, you know, there's lots of names out there. Maybe not on, on that blockbuster scale, but you know, in some Blue Jays fans or folks want to hear, I'm sure when you're on Jays Talk, you hear, they probably heard Max Scherzer's name more than once in the last little while. But I don't know, maybe I'm grafting my own expectations onto what the Blue Jays are going to do, but I can more likely see a longer term guy with control coming back than a rental, especially a rental of limited utility, but great production like Nelson Cruz.
I think the difficulty that I have in trying to figure out what the Blue Jays are going to do exactly is there's not a huge track record of this front office making these types of moves, because they've obviously been in a rebuild leading up to last year where they did ultimately make the playoffs. And last year, they went and got rentals. They went and got a Jonathan Villar. They got a Robbie Ray. They got a Taiwan Walker, which goes against what they've done this year, which is get two guys with control, and Adam Sibber and Trevor Richards. So are they more inclined to be the type of front office that is looking for, you know, a couple of kicks at the can, or are they going to, you know, look at, you know, guys that have 1 year left on the deal and some rentals that they can go after and maybe make a splash this year? So it's tough for me to come up with a blueprint. I sort of just look at the options that are out there, and Joey Gallo right at the top of the list. We know that run prevention is something that Ross Atkins mentioned the other day that is top of mind for this club. So, you know, whether that's defensively, they want to look at an upgrade at third base. They want to look at relievers. They want to look at starting pitchers. You know, the starting pitching market, there's not a ton out there. You know, Kyle Gibson, probably near the top of the list. You know, Max Scherzer, with the way Washington is playing of late, probably seems to be out of the equation at this point. So Jose Berrios, another guy that you mentioned, and the reports for the ask for him seem to be quite astronomical. And I'm not sure the Blue Jays are going to be willing to pay the price for, you know, a guy like that, who's fine. He's fine. He's not an elite starting pitcher, but he's very serviceable on this team. Might even be the second best starter if you slot him into the rotation right now. So, you know, I did find it interesting that Ross Atkins said, if we can't, you know, fix the run prevention, we're going to look at offense. We're going to look at potentially run creation, and you know, Joey Gallo and some others might fit the bill there. So it's just hard for me to, you know, get a sense of what exactly the team is going to do. But I do think I tend to lean with you in that I don't know if they want to be looking at rentals right now. Maybe they look at some lower tier rentals and you take a shot at a reliever that's in the final year of his deal. But if they're looking for impacts, I think they're going to be looking at someone that has at least another year on, you know, as far as their term heading into next season as well, to get another shot at it.
I think that last year is a great example of what you've just said, where they did acquire rentals, but these were really low acquisition cost rentals. You know, Robbie Ray was probably his value was as low as it was ever going to be. Jonathan Villar was having a great season before he came to Toronto, and then of course had a terrible season with the Blue Jays, but now he's or half season with the Blue Jays, and now he's kind of back being what he is here in 2021. But I can see them doing things like that, but then again, you know, to what end, right? Like if you're making a non-impact acquisition, you're basically talking about relievers at this point. Right, you're doing the trade equivalent of signing John Axford in a way. You know, a guy that if it works out, if he's able to come to the big leagues and his fastball is heavy and is still at 97, you can get people out. And because when you think about the everyday lineup, and you want to talk about not only run prevention but also offense, like where are those upgrades going to come without them being expensive rentals. Like, yeah, sure, Chris Bryant is an upgrade at third base, but is that the splashy move you want to make with this group at this time? I don't even know. Let me ask you this. Is there value in making an upgrade such as like maybe seeing if you could make Santiago Espinal your third baseman every day? I don't know what you feel about that, but to me, and this goes, you know, towards my thing with Gallo, is like a guy like Gallo upgrades your outfield defense and allows you offensively to carry a guy like Santiago Espinal every day. Like he's your Ryan Goins, in my mind. I don't know. That's part of why I'm so fixated on Gallo. Obviously the fact that he's a weird freak helps as well. But I know what I know you've come around on the Joey Gallo idea. Are there more pieces to that, or you just think like, wow, he's really good and that could be fun and make the team better?
Yeah, I'm pretty simple-minded, so it's pretty straightforward. He's a guy that hits left-handed, and this team does not have very many of those guys, and he mashes the baseball. And he plays, you know, very good defense in the outfield as well. I wish that he was still a serviceable third baseman. Like, he hasn't played there, I think, since 2017, and when he was there, at least some of the advanced metrics didn't look great. So, you know, that's unfortunate that he doesn't have that positional flexibility seemingly anymore at third base, which just would have been an absolute perfect fit for this team. But, you know, you have him in right field. It takes away at bats from, you know, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Randall Grichuk. And I know Gurriel Jr. has been, you know, hitting well statistically over the last month and a bit. And Randall's come off of his incredible, you know, early season heater. But, you know, I just think he just fits this lineup so well. And the Espinal part is interesting as well, because you I wonder if you're reading my mind, because I was literally thinking about that earlier today about, you know, over the next while here, Kevin Biggio, I think you tweeted out the numbers, you know, in the month of July. It's like not very good.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate. But first, check this out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I've become this like Kevin Biggio villain online. And yeah. it's a shame. It's a shame that I'm a jerk, A, but B, it's a shame that he is held in in my mind too high a regard, to the point that I'm like, oh, come on, guys, let's be real about this. And you know, there was a post that was going around a couple weeks ago, and it was quoting numbers comparing Chris Bryant, in fact, to Kevin Biggio from a certain date. And from this date forward, Kevin Biggio was really good. And then you kind of drill down to it and you realize, okay, yes, Kevin Biggio was hurt and that absolutely could have been affecting his performance. And then he came back and he was really good, but he was really good for like 60 plate appearances. And now here, you know, again, just picking July at random that's not real. But mm-hmm. when you look at his body of work here across 2021, as he's making his second and third times through the season, through the league, you know, in the same season, that's why I think when you can guys start to get exposed, and here in July, he's been really bad, and it's a shame because everything that about him is perfect for this team, but I just don't know if he's got it in him. And it's again not for a lack of trying, not for a lack of a good head on his shoulders, and like being a really smart and useful baseball player, but it's the kind of guy where like, if you're trying to win games and you know, the Blue Jays here, when you and I are talking, they lost two straight to the Red Sox. And in some ways we can have more of these, I feel like we can have these transactional conversations. Like, what are they going to do because they didn't play the third game and then eventually lose it to the Red Sox? Like if they're coming off a Red Sox sweep, maybe we're like having a bit of a different conversation, because to, like you said, the sleeping giant, this is a good team. This is a good team. And if you're a general manager and you can look at them and be like, this is what's going to unlock them, well, then you're going to be the best GM in the entire world if you know exactly what lever to pull. But I think that you have to be, well, you don't have to be, but if you work for Mark Shapiro, you're going to be pragmatic and you're going to be like, we could blow our brains out and go crazy with rentals, but I don't know if it's going to get us anywhere. And I don't know if it's going to make us better than the two or three best teams in our league. And while, you know, everyone loves the idea of a Cinderella run, you're still in tough. You're in tough against a bunch of good teams, the Rays, the Red Sox, Houston, and then the White Sox. Like, you know, there's not a lot of space left after that. And just getting in there and facing one of those teams, or Boston or Tampa Bay, it's a bit of a tough pill to swallow when you're looking at all this depth you've built. And maybe you think about the offseason as the time to make a big move and spend some of this prospect capital. I mean, I hate to say it. I love the idea of going forward and, you know, flag fly forever and all that stuff. But, you know, maybe that prospect capital is better spent this winter.
It's so tough this season specifically, just looking at everything that has happened, because, you know, George Springer getting hurt for the first few months of the season was just a huge blow for this team. And kudos to them for, you know, staying above water and treading water for a while there and keeping themselves in the mix to allow Springer to get back healthy. And we've seen him start to come around of late. But, you know, when they signed George Springer, it was for 6 years. It wasn't to take just one shot in 2021. When they signed, you know, Hyunjin Ryu for 4 seasons, you know, sure, they wanted him to be a big part of the first couple of years. But, you know, they're hoping that he can still be a big part of this next year and the year after in the final year of his deal. You've got Vladdy having just an otherworldly season, you know, a season that we don't see very often in Major League Baseball for 22-year-olds. You sign Marcus Semien for 1 year, and he became an all-star and is arguably the best second baseman in the American League right now, maybe potentially all of baseball. Like, it's crazy what we're at a point here where there's just so many positive things, but then you look at the standings, and like you said, you're in tough. Like, you've got all this positive momentum, but maybe this unfortunately isn't the season to go all in, because, you know, you may do some things that are uncomfortable and then it doesn't work out. And then what? Are you going to try to take another shot at it again next year by, you know, digging even deeper into the prospect pool? You only have so many, you know, upper echelon guys that you can throw out there in deals to make some big splashes. At some point, you know, unless you're the San Diego Padres or the Tampa Bay Rays, you're going to run out of, you know, prospects to make some of these big deals. So, you know, maybe 2021 isn't the time to do it, but man, that would be a tough pill to swallow, because wasting a season of Vladdy like this, wasting a Marcus Semien season, potentially wasting the best career season of Robbie Ray. Like, just there's so many guys that are having such phenomenal seasons to just say, well, it's just not our time, and just move on and hope for the best in 2022. I mean, that's the tough pill for the fans to swallow. I can only imagine what it's like for the actual players on the team.
For the players on the field, I can't. That's exactly the right kind of perspective. You know, we've seen in Toronto over the years how, you know, the players respect each other and they have their you know, in the clubhouse, but they know when the team needs something to be made better, and I'm sure that they don't hope to signal anybody out, but they're like, we have a chance to do something special, so maybe just like get a couple extra guys in here, and maybe we don't know who it's going to be at the expense of, but. You know, when especially someone like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and not to run down anybody else on the team, but a guy who obviously and visibly put in so much work to become a better player, to become the kind of player that can lead a team to a championship. And he's doing his bit. He's holding up his end of the bargain, but it's a tough pill to swallow, like you said. But, you know, I think that the more I talk myself out of doing anything rash at this trade deadline, because especially with we don't know what's going to be the state of the CBA into the future. So there's always, you know, lots of nice discounts and like lots of good or expensive or impact players that can be found on the trade market in the winter. Geez, I don't know. It's I mean, as it is, they've got to, speaking of Marcus Semien and Robbie Ray, they got to fill those spots anyway. They got to find out. They got to find somebody to play second base maybe next year. They got to find another bunch of pitchers. You know, the Nate Pearson thing and with Thomas Hatch. But so there is depth that's kind of around. And I think that Ross Atkins sort of alluded to that a little bit. I think feeling like they feel pretty good about their depth. But it's just you see it. I wouldn't say the stars aligned, because if the stars aligned, the Blue Jays would be in first place. The stars aligned for a team like the White Sox, I think, in that their division cratered. They were able to make it through some tough injuries and don't have to blow their brains out. You know, they made a big acquisition. They traded a top prospect. They got their Lance Lynn. Then they extended him. Like, nice bit of business for them. So maybe the Blue Jays can do something like that. Maybe they can look to convince Robbie Ray to stay. And maybe they can open up the doors and bring somebody, do another version of Robbie Ray, bring somebody in and be like, this is Pete Walker, this is Matt Bushman, this is how we do things around here, and we know that we can help you become the best player that you can be. And, you know, here's Robbie Ray, he can tell you about what worked for him if you want to come and take our money and you want to come and stay. I mean, every time you have a player development success like that, it kind of makes it attractive as a soft landing spot, or maybe opening yourself up to guys who maybe wouldn't have considered the Blue Jays in the past. You know, we're seeing the benefits of this player development system, but I just don't know if 2021 is quite the year. And maybe the question for you, and again, you talk to so many fans and you hear so many emotional reactions. Do you think that the Blue Jays not making the playoffs or not making a real run at it? You know, Marcus Semien notwithstanding, would it be considered a disappointment for you? And do you think it's a disappointing season if they're not able to get quite into the playoffs and make a bit of a run?
I think it would be a disappointment just based off of, you know, some of the performances that I mentioned. Like, had you told someone that, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to have an MVP caliber season this year, I think a lot of people would have said, whoa, maybe you're probably having a really good run here, probably in the mix for a playoff spot. Like, it's probably a good season. And he's doing that, and it has been just okay as far as the team's success goes. So I do think that, you know, for the most part, people do understand that this is the first year, like true year of this team trying to contend. Like, I truly do believe that, whether people have, you know, reactions one way or the other based off of, you know, game to game and win loss and whatever result there may be. But I think, you know, just the exciting part too, heading into next offseason, is that this team isn't done adding. You know, Hyunjin Ryu was the first piece. George Springer was the second piece. You know, there's going to be more additions. There has to be, right? Like, you're not going to spend $150 million on George Springer, you know, $80 million on Hyunjin Ryu, and you've got two guys, superstar players, in still, you know, pre-arbitration, and be like, you know what, we're done. We're done spending here. We're not going to add more to the team. We're just going to let it come internally with the Jordan Groshans and the Austin Martins of the world. Like, those guys are going to come, maybe not Groshans if he's traded, but the Martins and the Gabby Morenos, like, those guys are coming, but they will still be supplemented with other free agent ads. I don't think you take a deep dive into Springer and Hyunjin Ryu and say, you know what, we're done adding free agents for the next 5 years. I still think the capital is going to be there for this front office to make some big splashes. This coming off season, it's a lot of talk about the shortstops that are going to be available, of course, the Stories, the Correas, the Seegers of the world. And then you've got those geriatric Hall of Fame pitchers that are going to be available too. And, you know, Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw and guys like that.
Geriatric. Clayton Kershaw, how dare you? How dare you do Clayton Kershaw like that?
I don't know how many of those guys are going to be willing to sign in Toronto, but it just, you know, goes to show you the caliber of free agents that are going to be there. You mentioned the CBA uncertainty. That's obviously going to add a big wrinkle into what may or may not happen this coming off season. But I just find it hard to believe that, you know, over the next few years, there won't be even more significant additions, whether it's through free agency or trade. And then at that point, I mean, we can really start talking about, you know, getting excited for a team to make a really strong push for a banner at some point.
If you are worried about a team that spends a bunch of money on an outfielder and then spends a bunch of money on a pitcher and then sort of stops, allow me to introduce you to the Philadelphia Phillies. who have basically done that. I mean, let's talk about Vlad, you know, Jr. a little bit, because there's nothing better. There's no more fun topic realistically than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I mean, you said if you told someone in this winter that he's going to have an MVP caliber season, most people would be like, yeah, I can see that. He's, you know, obviously he's who he is. If you told them he was going to have one of the four or five best seasons in franchise history, I think that they would be surprised. I'm like, the sky is not the sky is the limit, but we're going to start to get into some real big round numbers real soon. Like, he's going to go screaming past 40 home runs. And I mean, like, 50 home runs is not beyond the realm of possibility, which has been done a grand total of one time in franchise history. I'm not sure about, you know, RBIs and stuff, but even the triple crown. I mean, what do you think? You never want to expect a guy, and it's sick to say aloud, to say the words, to say what I'm about to say. You don't expect him to go and continue to have an 1100 OPS for the rest of the year. But at the same time, nobody who's watched the first 400 plate appearances of this season would even bat an eyelash if he did it. I mean, like, this is Lothar, as I'm bringing up, like, he's on like triple crown watch, like, which is so crazy. Yeah. So crazy. What was your thought process when you sort of saw him come into spring and looking good and then starting off the season so well? Were you like, okay, this makes sense, or were you a little wary at first?
I was still a little bit wary. I was, you know, cautiously optimistic that, you know, he was going to have a good season. All the projection systems, which, you know, I trust to a certain level. I mean, those guys obviously know what they're doing. Those guys and gals that make the projection systems, they you know, have a good history of, you know, being right more often than being wrong. And I think, you know, he was projected around like an 820, 830 OPS, which was great. I mean, based off where he was.
Solid. Take that all day.
I will take that every single day of the week for a guy in his age 22 season. And he's obviously blown that out of the water. I don't honestly remember the exact, you know, moment this season where I thought, okay, like, this is just something else. Like, it just sort of happened, right? It just, over the first month of the season, I remember putting out a tweet, I think maybe in the first month of the season, and it was just a screenshot of Vladdy's numbers compared to Acuna Jr.'s and Tatis Jr.'s. And it was like, I mean, I'm just saying, but I'm not saying, like, his numbers are better than those guys right now. And we'll see if it holds. And then like 2 months later, I did it again. And lo and behold, he was still, you know, better than both of those guys. So it's just, I mean, you obviously been writing about it for a couple of years now. You've followed this journey closer than I think than most people have, taken a lot more deep dives into it. And, you know, I remember before he played an actual Major League Baseball game, and I think I said it on a show on the air when I was still doing non-Jays stuff, but I said, you know, if he's Edwin Encarnacion in his prime for like his entire Jays career, like, are people disappointed at that? And the season he's having now, Edwin's never even touched that.
No.
So like, now this is on another level that not many people in baseball have reached. So like, Edwin Encarnacion feels like the floor, prime Edwin feels like the floor. And now we're just into territories we've never seen before. Like, Albert Pujols' age 22 season wasn't even this good. And that guy's, you know, sure Hall of Famer. So it's, I honestly don't have any words to explain anymore what we're seeing, aside from, I guess, Bryce Harper did it in his age 22 season. And, you know, he's obviously fluctuated up and down. Injuries have played a big part, and that's always a big concern. But yeah, we're just at a level here that I'm not sure even the biggest fans of Vlad, you know, Jim Callis calling him a future Hall of Famer, ever thought he would get to this point.
I was going to reference that. Jim Callis, who covered, does he work for the Twins now, or is he still,
I'm not sure.
MLB.com?
Yeah, he's still doing prospect stuff, yeah.
So he said that before Vladdy made his big league debut, he said that they are going to be the first father-son duo in the Hall of Fame, which is an incredibly big thing to say, especially for someone who's got, you know, skin in the game, so to speak. Like, his credibility matters as someone who is a talent evaluator, as someone who is selling his ability to craft sensible and grounded in reality opinions. So that's a huge thing. So for me, it was spring training. It was like, you could immediately, it was like, oh, okay, this is happening now. You know, the ball was flying in places it didn't fly before. You know, he's showing consistent and unbelievable power the other way. And then also being able to get around on it. I mean, you know, I was one who wasn't as maybe not convinced, but I was disappointed in his performance to date. Not, you know, where a lot of folks, and I don't know that I was wrong in doing that. I was wrong in that I would have been wrong if I had said he's never going to get right. Because he did, you know, obviously he did the things that he needed to do to allow his body to get into the positions to do the things that he's capable of doing, which is what we're seeing him do now. I think Joe Siddle had a great breakdown on the broadcast, early in April, just about how the extra strength allowed him to kind of like fire his hips that much earlier, and his bat wasn't dragging, and he just was obviously able to make so much great contact. And, you know, all the pieces were there as a young player, but he was still, you know, in terms of guys who got lots of playing time at 20 and 21, he was among the worst, which is because the only great players have those opportunities, and the vast majority of them are almost great, are not great right away, but you know they are the Acuñas, the Sotos, the Tatis Juniors, where it's like they're good and they don't waste anybody's time in being good. And Vlad had some things he had to overcome. He had to get his body right because you just can't get away with some of the stuff that you can get away with even in Double A. But you know it's been so great to watch. And yeah, I think that you know we're talking about 2000 Carlos Delgado, 1999 maybe Carlos Delgado, 2010, 2011 Jose Bautista. Maybe 93 John Olerud, and like if you're really trying, like in terms of wins above replacement, you're talking about 2015 Josh Donaldson. Like that's where we are in terms of the the only seasons that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Vlad's. And if he starts knocking off these big numbers, if he hits 50 home runs, if he finishes the season with an 1100 OPS, if he's in that 190 195 weighted runs created plus, like that's instantly an 8-win player. Like that's as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets if your name is not Shohei Ohtani, and it is just, it's a shame that he's going to lose the MVP and will have not been slighted in doing so, which, it breaks your heart, but.
Well, I've made the case for co-MVPs. I've made the case that these two guys are just so undeniable this year that maybe you could make an exception here and split the award in half for both of these guys. But, I made this point before too, that it's just great in talking about Vlad that you can talk about the baseball card numbers now, right? You don't have to sell non-believers on, well, that was 117 off the bat. So I know it was into the ground and the launch angle was minus 1,000, but that's 117. Not many guys hit at 117 off the bat. Like just you wait. Now it's like, hey, that's 32 bombs. Hey, that's a 430 foot, screaming line drive into the Red Sox bullpen.
To the opposite field.
Yeah, you don't have to try to sell people anymore. Yeah, that's the best part.
These are the arguments that these are the data points that win your arguments in Bradford and Newmarket. Maybe not so much at like the Saber meetings, but when you're waiting for wings at the Village Inn, you can talk about he's hitting 350 or 335 and hitting 430 foot home runs, and everybody's on the same page. I can't believe that you would try to deny Shohei Ohtani the MVP. Look. And obviously nobody's got more invested in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. than I do. I was trying to make a point. I was trying to think of a parallel. Like you mentioned Edwin Encarnacion, which is what I got me thinking. Like Shohei Ohtani is hitting better than prime Edwin Encarnacion, and he's pitching as well as Robbie Ray. So it's like you took those two guys and put them together. They're the same guy. Edwin Encarnacion is now Robbie Ray when he pitches and better than Encarnacion when he hits. That's what the MVP looks like, because not because it's ever been done before, because it, what are the chances of it ever being done again? It's crazy what we're seeing, but more to the point, it's crazy what we're seeing from Vlad. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have been a little bit more cross-armed, like waiting, very much wait and see with Bo Bichette. Obviously love what he's been able to do. But I'm coming around on him, which is, how brave of me to say out loud that I'm coming around on the Blue Jays, like 5-win shortstop. But, he's having a great year, and I love to watch him hit because he's not like everybody else. And I think that there's a lot of appeal in that to me. And he just rakes, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Even when he's down 0-2, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think I've been on the same wavelength that I've started to come around. I know in reading that trade value blog that Fangraphs has been putting out, I think he was number 20 on the list, and I was just reading the blurb that the guys had to say about him, and it kind of reinforced everything that I feel about Bo, that you may not like his approach and you may not love the fact that he's 0-2 all the time, or we saw that Adam Ottavino at bat in the ninth inning the other day, and it was like, it was Matt Barnes, I think, and he swung it like, no, it was the eighth inning, it was Ottavino, and he swung it like a 2-0 breaking ball that almost hit him. And it's like, why are you swinging at that? But that's just who he is. If he's not himself, he can't be himself, at least at this stage of his career. You hope with maturity, more plate discipline comes and he's able to be more selective. And when he does that, I mean, look out, because I think that just it makes him even more dangerous. But you just look at the package that he has and the age that he has and the contract that he has being pre-arb, like how many shortstops are you taking above him really at this point in Major League Baseball? Like, sure, you can have your Corey Seagers and you can have your Carlos Correas in a vacuum, but long-term, there aren't too many guys that I'm taking over Bo Bichette at this point at that position in all of Major League Baseball.
You're absolutely right about that Fangraphs trade rankings piece, which is really interesting to read. Because, you know, I've joked about the Village Inn and kind of barroom debates. I think that Fangraphs piece is kind of taking those sort of like trade value discussions, which probably originated as like kind of bar stool sort of stuff. Like, hey, wouldn't trade this guy for that guy? You know, the Bill Simmons, like if they called up, you know, but the Fangraphs one is almost like too real. In that it's like, here's Jeff McNeil. He's got 5 years of control left and he's a good hitter. And he's like people, and he's on the list higher than like Nolan Arenado or like Christian Yelich and like a bunch of guys. And it's like, you're telling me you wouldn't trade Jeff McNeil for that guy? But in the end of the day, that's the way that baseball works. So it's a little bit too much. I use the word uncanny valley online today. But Kevin Goldstein had a great line in there, and that was about, I think baseball analysis, and this comes back to Kevin Biggio as well. We've gotten past, I think, or we should have gotten past in 2021, the 2004 or 2005, like, you got to walk. If you don't walk, you're no good, right? And guys who don't, if you walk, you're good. And if you don't walk, you're bad. And like that sort of binary, like yes or no. And mm-hmm. we're seeing that with Biggio, I think. I think Biggio and Bichette are kind of a really, Biggio, Bichette, and then also Gurriel are like the whole spectrum of that, where it's like, Biggio walks a lot. That's great. It really props up his numbers. I really wish that he could hit more. Bichette, you wish he could walk more. You maybe, or not even walk more. You just wish he could be a little bit more selective and do what he does with a little bit more patience. And then Gurriel is the kind of the further end of that, where it's like Gurriel will never be as good a hitter as Bo Bichette. He just can't do the things that Bichette does, even though he has a similar approach. And I think that it's a matter really of, excuse me, of talent. And like to do what Bo Bichette does is really hard, and you wouldn't teach it, but you don't have to because he's already doing it. So take it for what it is. And whether or not you have questions about him as a defensively, as a shortstop, and you know, again, that maybe that's the sort of thing that he doesn't look like a statue falling down out there. That's for sure. He is athletic enough, and I think he's quick enough to play the position. And maybe it's just, he's the kind of guy that not only is he really producing at 23, he's an all-star. He looks the part. He's a great presence in the lineup. Because of those sort of those little factors, those little what ifs about him, you can see him even getting better. Like we talked about Vlad, we can be honest here. There is no better than this, right? Like this is as good as he's ever going to be. If he does this or close to it for a long time, like Albert Pujols or like Miguel Cabrera, that's awesome. But like, there's nowhere above where he is now. So
yeah,
it's okay to admit that. It's okay if this is his career year and he settles in as like a 175 when he runs Screener Plus or 160 or just something that's like still so astronomical. But Bichette is the kind of guy that not only is he doing it now, you can still dream on those skills and dream on that little bit of maturity, kind of tweaking the knobs a little bit. And then you have a really, truly special player to go with the other really, truly special player standing on the other side of the infield.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When I look at Bo Bichette, I just look at this wild horse that just needs to be tamed a little bit. And when it's, you know,
you're trying to cut his hair. Don't be trying to cut his hair. Let the man, let the flow go.
We'll leave the mane, I think, for now. But he's just got those, you know, natural skills that cannot be taught. And, you know, I don't want to pin him against Kevin Biggio because it's just completely different players, but they're on the same team and you brought him up. How many times do we see Kevin Biggio, you know, swinging through 92 mile an hour fastballs down the middle of the plate? Like, it's just, he doesn't have the same type of contact skills that a Bo Bichette has. Yeah, we see Bo take these massive hacks and, you know, he fouls these pitches down the middle of the plate off. But how often do we see him, you know, barrel those up? You know, Kevin Biggio may go 0 for 2 with a pair of walks. Well, Bo's going to go 1 for 4, but it's going to be a 430 foot home run that's going to add more value to the Blue Jays in that game. So I just the raw tools are there. It just needs to be refined. And at that point, you're looking at not Vlad level, obviously offensive type of ability, but maybe, Edwin Encarnacion type of ability when it comes to offensive output. But it's just crazy that the Blue Jays have these two caliber of players on the team at the same time in, pretty much the prime of their career, because we know aging curves are becoming, earlier and earlier as well. We expect them to get better as they, get more mature and get, more experience in Major League Baseball. But, I feel pretty confident in saying that we're not going to see something like this with the Blue Jays for a long, long time. The fact that they have two of these caliber of players on the team at the same time.
It is a pretty strong foundation upon which to build a championship team, which we kind of started about talking about today, and I don't think we quite got there, but we have some time until the trade deadline to see what the Blue Jays are going to do. And if you are listening to the Blue Jays on the radio, if you are in your car, if you're on the porch, on the patio, and you want to talk to somebody after the Blue Jays game, there's no better person to call than Rob Wong, the host of Jays Talk. Rob, where can the people find you? And I've just promoted your show for you, but tell them what else they need to know about where they can hear you and find you tweeting and things like that.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at WongSN590, where you can see me tweeting my Jack Nicholson face gif of myself at Drew every time he references Joey Gallo or something.
It's so good.
I give approval to, and I give the old head nod. So, it's good, and I give it the rubber stamp. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at WongSN590. And as you mentioned, Jays Talk, Jays Baseball on the radio. Hopefully. It's going to be an exciting rest of the season here for the Toronto Blue Jays Baseball Club as they make some moves, make a run to the playoffs, and boy, oh boy, baseball back in the city. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be so much fun, almost as much fun as a night spent at the Barbecue King on Yonge Street in Bradford. Shout out to the Barbecue King. Shout out to you, Rob Wong. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you, you taking the time. Have yourself a great night, and thanks to you for listening to this edition of Scoop.